Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG pod overflow, the Cinephobe cold opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
Said the OG pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays. You're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're going to get Amin in those, so you got to listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like? Because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora. He's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/Count the Dings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, the fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. You can play Pick'em, pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower total in each stat for this week's games for a chance to win big. You can actually win up to 100 times your money in a single night. That's right. I didn't say 10. I didn't say 20. Up to 100 times your money. Pick between 2 and 5 players. Build a Pick'em entry. My favorite feature, you can make rivals picks. Hit 2 players against each other. Wembanyama versus Nikola Jokic. Tim Hardaway Jr. versus Norm Powell. Kawhi Leonard versus Steph Curry. Who knows? Maybe Grayson Allen versus Pat Connaughton. You get where I'm going with that. You can do it all with Underdog Fantasy. Make sure you sign up today with the promo code DING. That's D-I-N-G. And get your first deposit doubled up to $100 as well as an instant Pick'em special. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the app store. And don't forget to register with our promo code DING, D-I-N-G, to get your first deposit doubled up to $100 as well as an instant Pick'em special. Must be 18 or older and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-522-4700 or visit www.ncpgambling.org.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, I'm Paul Giamatti.
And I'm Stephen Asma.
Join us on the Chinwag Podcast every Wednesday, where we trade the banal and the boring for the super strange and bizarre.
They committed human sacrifice?
I did bring up human sacrifice, yes.
You sure did.
That just went by fast.
Gotta casually toss that out.
I would like to have an alien hatch its young inside.
Holy shit, really?
She saw world peace, and I saw demons coming out of the wall.
I will say that there was a green couch outside of the principal's office, and you sat on it if you had lice or if you got into trouble.
They wake you up from the goo pods to live in reality, and you're naked and screaming. It's like...
Follow us for free on Apple Podcasts and all major podcast platforms.
For more information, go to chinwagpod.fm.
and find enlightenment through our Instagram or TikTok at ChinwagPod or on Twitter at Chinwag_pod.
When you listen to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, the comedy podcast, you get a belly full of laughs and a head full of real information. Our gallimaufry of expert guests answer questions on stuff adults need to know. I have mold in my dwelling. What do I do? What's gerrymandering? What happens chemically when I fall in love? How do I handle a parent-teacher conference? What are microbes? Listen to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone. Solve problems, get laughs.
I didn't think of it right away. I didn't think of it probably until I was up 20 potential picks deep in this episode. Mm-hmm. But then I remembered, oh, you know what? I should probably put Dashing Through the Snow on here. Just because we talked about it and I don't really want to do it, but it'd be, you know, maybe a fun OLI or whatever. Yeah. And so I go to Dashing Through the Snow and lo and behold, it's a Christmas miracle. Three reviewers chimed in on December 25th, December 27th, and December 28th, bringing that score down to below 40. It is 35% now. It is no longer eligible for this episode, but it is eligible for Cinephobe. Anytime we need a little bit of that Christmas spirit and a very non-reactive ludicrous.
Do we need Christmas spirit?
Well, if we do, we got it.
Well, were the three people, were there any of the repeat offenders?
No, I was really hoping for a Michael Dakina or a Caffeinated Clint. The three people are Dylan Duggan from That Shelf, Sean Edwards from Fox 4 Kansas City, and Stephen Warner from In Review Online.
That movie came out like early December and they waited until after Christmas to watch it.
Maybe they watched it on Christmas.
It sounds like people actually watched it on Christmas and then said, I've had enough.
Is that something that people do? Do people like watch Christmas movies on Christmas itself?
I'm not picking one out. Like, I'll watch A Christmas Story if it's on. I'll watch It's a Wonderful Life if it's on. I'm not choosing that. My dad likes it.
Movie sucks.
Pop! You don't like it, Zach? You don't like It's a Wonderful Life?
No, it's just a dumb movie.
But it's about angels.
It is about angels.
Would you like it if Paul Bettany was in it?
No.
You would, though.
Yeah, you would.
This idea is just straight up bad. That algorithm is busted. It's among the worst ideas I've ever heard.
Top five, easily.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Welcome back to another illustrious, magnanimous, incredibly awesome edition of Cinephobe Top 5, aka CT5. This is a show where we mail it in. Quite frankly, we just go back through Cinephobe canon and lore to identify our top 5 selections for a variety of categories. By the way, you can catch all of these episodes now on YouTube, on our new YouTube page. Maze, you want to direct the people?
That's right. YouTube at Cinephobe Pod. That's where all the CT5s will live. You can watch us there. You can see when Amin gets up to take a little break. If he's not feeling it, you can hear him shout from across the room. You can look at his Star Wars poster in the background.
Not a poster. Poster. It's a painting.
That's painted art. Painting.
Yeah, that's commissioned. Commission art, by the way.
Yeah.
That art is breathing like
Commissioner Gordon
in Fallen. But yes, it's exciting. We're going to try to figure out some new things to add. I am excited for 2024 where we will have a video component, the long-awaited video component that people
wanted to get in early on YouTube, and we did it. We managed to crack the code, guys.
Pioneers.
Might hear that joke in a couple of months.
It's 2024, so I feel like I don't have to read out the past.
No.
CT file. I should?
No.
Okay, I don't. Okay, yeah, cool. All right, yeah. So you can go back. We do a lot of fun things, names, dancers, all types of stuff. I'm not going to go through it, but please indulge yourself. If you love Cinephobe and you're saying, hey, this is my first time giving this CT5 thing a try, I think you'll really enjoy it because it is a nice little walk down memory lane a lot of times.
And we're always updating lists in regular episodes of movies that we do.
It's getting a little confusing, honestly, with the list updating, remembering what episode it got updated in. But
Putting spreadsheet.
Yep. I'm not adding another column.
New column.
No.
Yeah. Another column.
No.
My column. So
this is going to be a weird episode, though, because this is different. This isn't a trip down Cinephobe memory lane.
This isn't me.
This is brand new content because today's CT5, if you didn't infer it from the intro, is about movies that don't qualify, but we wish we did. That's right. CT5 ineligible movies. So,
and it's not all ineligible movies. It's the ones that are close. They're close, still like, rotten. They're still like, 40 to 60% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, like I couldn't go and say like, oh, I wish we could do Face Off. That's in the 90s.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. But although I think I might have broken some rules on that. But anyways.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. You?
So CT5, ineligible movies that almost qualify, but don't quite, but sometimes also... Who gives a shit?
Real concise.
We give
you look great in the episode title.
Absolutely. Top fives. And then we also have two outside looking ins, or OLIs as we call them. We'll go, I guess the order today is me, followed by Zach, followed by Maze. And without further ado, guys, I'll get this party started, no?
Yeah.
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 Yeah, yeah, coach.
Yeah.
All right, so we'll start my OLI number two or number one, the second OLI out. Hoodlum.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, starring Lawrence Fishburne and Chai McBride and Tim Roth.
We don't do Sounders anymore. Wait, there it is, yeah.
We do, it just takes 7 minutes apparently. 7 minutes in heaven. Yeah, this is always one of the movies that I love that never seemed to get enough respect from either critics or audience. And, you know, I'd like to do it because it's a fun movie. It's a fun gangster movie set in 1920s Harlem.
What are the percentages?
43% critics, 66% audience.
Okay. Yeah, so that's barely over.
Quickly realized as he was delivering this, like, oh, I'll probably have to look these up for him. I don't think he included them.
Look up any of them.
Wow. Oh, great. Oh, okay. So they maybe don't even qualify. That's good.
Yeah, so what do you mean you didn't look up any of them? How did you come up with your list?
I just knew that they didn't qualify.
Unbelievable.
Wow. Okay. All right. Well,
Godfather is coming.
That's one way to go about your business. Yeah.
All right. My second OLI or first, was it first or second OLI? Just OLI. OLI. This is 74% critics. However, 52% audience. Mm. I submit to you, it would be the greatest Denzel Washington performance we've ever had and the greatest ass-off battle we've ever had between Denzel and John Lithgow. It's Ricochet.
All right. Okay.
I wish this qualified. It's probably my favorite Denzel movie.
It's a damn good movie. Yeah, it's we did Daddy's Home too. We haven't done a whole lot of Lithgow, and we definitely haven't done Crazy Lithgow.
Mm-hmm.
And he's excellent in that.
Oh, he's so good.
I saw that for the first time a couple years ago.
Oh man, it's so, so good.
My OLI is a cusper. It's a 41% critics, which is right there. It's come up in the cast breakdown many times. It's a 1999 movie, so it's right there on the turn of the century, bitch. It's got Dummo Walker, one of our favorites, in it. It's got the classic teen movie tropes. You take a girl's glasses off and she's hot all of a sudden. It's mm-hmm. She's All That. Yeah. Usher, Freddie Prinze Jr., Rachel Banger. Lee Cook, Paul Walker.
Yeah. Ooh, Rachel Lee
Cook. Stars to the cast.
Yeah. It was a moment in time. It would be a great Cinephobe episode. Unfortunately, it's 41 critics, 55 audience.
Here at Cinephobe, we like movies that come in series. We like IP. We like movies that are part of a grander tradition. Oftentimes, we like the sequel before or without doing the original. This is one case where the original does not qualify, so we didn't even have a chance to do it. But I would have loved to do this for Cinephobe based on how great the original episode was for the sequel. That's right. Now You See Me.
What?
I would, dude, Now You See Me 2 was one of the most fun episodes we've ever done.
Was it? Was
you guys didn't have fun?
51% critics, 70% audience.
Oh, okay. So my intuition is pretty good. Okay.
I mean, I guess you could say one of the funniest episodes about most episodes. There's only a couple that but really you didn't, suck. No,
but there's fun episodes. I'm not even talking about whether the episode came out. Because to me, Horrible Bosses 2 was a
Thaddeus
fun episode.
Bradley.com.
Yes. See, that's what I mean. Horrible Bosses 2 was a fun episode. I don't think it was necessarily a good episode. When I go back and I listen to it, I don't think it's a good episode. But it was a fun episode to do. Now You See Me 2 was a fun episode to do, man. All the ridiculousness. And I just feel like Now You See Me 1 would give us twice the amount of laughs.
I vaguely remember enjoying Now You See Me, the original.
No, it fucking sucks.
I've seen this motherfucker.
It fucking sucks.
The original? Not the sequel?
They all suck. There's a third one coming out. It's going to suck too.
Because there's magic in it. The Magic Man.
It's Bill Noir. It's not. Now You See Me. Now You Don't.
See, Zach, they rob banks, unlike The Honest Thief.
There's 12 heists. Honest Thief. In the beginning of that movie, off the rip, there's 12 heists.
Kind of like whatever. How they rip through a bunch of
Now You See Me rob me of 2 hours. Future.
I can't finish that good, statement because it's a month away.
Good catch. Summer right. Catch.
Oh. Hold on. Oh, no, that qualifies. That qualifies. All right, my next OLI. It's a long one. It's well. So remind me. I got a notebook. So I kind of chicken scratch this one. I think it's 73% audience, but it is 52% critics. It's got legends in this movie: Al Pacino, Cameron Diaz, Jamie Foxx, Dennis Quaid, Given Sunday.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Insanely long. I forgot insanely that it's long. 2 hours, 40 minutes.
That's a 6-part episode.
And yeah.
But 73% I do. Audience. I mean, man, that would be, there's so much material in there. That would be a great episode.
It would be a great episode.
Yeah.
Cannot disagree.
Yeah. I had that on my OLIs. My other OLI is a movie that still to this day, every time I look it up on Rotten Tomatoes, I cannot believe that it doesn't qualify. It's famously one of the most expensive movies ever made. It's famously one of the biggest bombs of all time. It's a hilarious concept. What if we put Mad Max on the ocean? It's Waterworld.
Oh, yeah. OLI.
46% critics, 43% audience, 1995's Kevin Costner disaster.
Such an easy file. That's
it would be
great movie.
A great terrible, episode.
Terrible movie.
Terrible movie, movie, great episode.
Saw that movie, not with my brother, but with my father.
Oh, and saw it with like my dad.
So my dad was like, let's go see Waterworld. And I said, but it's awful. Everyone says it's terrible. And he says, yeah, let's watch it. We'll see.
It might come in handy 20 years from now. He's planted the seeds early for, Hassan's future.
Oh, man.
Set me on my path.
That'd be a great episode. He drinks his own piss.
Yeah.
Because he's got feel like gills.
That's got to be a Golden Dumpster.
They made a contender. Universal Studios show out of it with jet skis, all kinds of shit, man. It was great.
Did they?
Yeah, didn't they? They replaced the Miami Vice one.
What do you guys
Miami
think?
Vice for a while, and then they replaced it with Waterworld.
What do you guys think the budget was?
I mean, back then, $100 million.
I mean,
oh, it was 200, right? It was because Titanic was 200, so it was pushing up on 200.
175.
Yeah, woo. See,
the most expensive film ever made at the time.
Now, I went under to sell it. I mean, went over because
he got to guess second.
Yeah, I would have probably, if I thought about it more, I probably would have guessed 150. Still would have been.
No, I just remember that Titanic was two, and Titanic replaced it as the most expensive movie ever.
What's the common denominator? Water.
Mm-hmm. Water's expensive.
It is expensive.
Hey, listener, Zach Harper here from Cinephobe. Yeah, that podcast. It's a good one. Ascertain. Telling you right now, Prize Picks. That's the way to go. Prize Picks is America's number one fantasy sports app with over 3 million members. The easiest and most exciting way to play DFS is just you against the numbers. You pick more than or less than on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. It's demon time. That's right. You're asking, what does that mean? It's demon time. I'll tell you. Demons and Goblins, the newest and most exciting way to play at Prize Picks. Squares marked with red demons or green goblins get you different payouts. You can now win up to 100 times your money with as little as 4 correct picks. That's insane. That's insane of Prize Picks to do. You know what else is insane? They offer injury insurance so that your entries stay in play, even if one of your players gets injured. For football and basketball games, if you have a player who exits the game in the first half and does not return in the second, that player projection won't count against you, and the rest of your entry stays alive. Prize Picks is the only DFS platform with an injury insurance policy. And by the way, they now offer Apple Pay for quick and easy deposits into your account. This football, basketball, any season you're playing. Me personally, I'm taking more than points on Joel Embiid all the time. I'm taking more than assists on Tyrese Halliburton. I'm taking less than points on Jordan Poole. Those seem to be the easy money makers for you. And you're probably wondering, Zach, how do I get involved in this? You go to prizepicks.com/ding and use code DING, D-I-N-G, for a first deposit match up to $100. That's prizepicks.com/ding. Use code DING, D-I-N-G, for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks, pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
r/ is a hilarious podcast where Dabney Bailey uses ridiculous voices and emotions to read aloud the week's craziest Reddit posts.
He reenacts various Reddit threads covering wild stories and secrets, petty revenge, relationships, and much more.
So if you're looking for a daily distraction and a laugh, check out r/ wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. Now we're in the top fives, and my number five is a movie that combines all of our favorite things. It's an action movie. It's a movie that involves revenge. It's a movie that involves some poppy talk as the central theme. And it's a movie that involves an actor known as Liam Neeson. It's Cold Pursuit.
Yep.
That's not the Liam Neeson movie I thought you were going to pick, but yeah.
I saw Cold Pursuit on Netflix.
Oh, this is the one you were texting us about. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, oh shit. And then I was like, oh fuck, it doesn't qualify.
68 yep. Critics, 49 audience.
Ah, got it. Cool. All right.
Yeah. Yeah, no, Cold. I wish we could do Cold Pursuit. That would be.
I mean, it was perfect. Yeah. It was perfect. I was like, how is this not a Cinephobe movie?
All right, my number five, I know Amin gets a little weary with these movies where it's a comedy that we all love and it's just us quoting everything. I still think it would be fun as hell. I think it would be a good episode, but I think it'd be fun as hell. It is 63% critics, but 49% audience. It's one of the best buddy duos ever. Owen Wilson, Ben Stiller, Starsky and Hutch.
Oh, fuck, I love that movie.
Yeah, it's so good. I watch it like every couple of months now. Like, it's so fucking funny.
I didn't get to the scores for that one, but yeah, that's a great pick.
Yeah.
I love that movie, and I think I think it'll be a fun episode to record. I always think back to Horrible Bosses too.
Yeah. So but we're more seasoned now. You
we
know,
would we have done Horrible Bosses too better. If it was 50 episodes later, 100 episodes later.
Yeah.
Maybe, that's the one that probably deserves a re-recording-ton.
Ooh.
More than any others, but I think that's also that's a dangerous door to reopen.
That and Kangaroo Jack, too.
USA. Well, that'd just be a recording tin, and I'm never going to watch it. So that's a no for me.
But I love how Mazes complained a little bit earlier today that, like, there's no such thing as a two-hour record.
No,
you just brought up Horrible Bosses 2 as a
recording.
That'll be a five-hour.
Oh, my God. Like, we'll never get through it.
That opening scene alone.
Oh, my God. Don't yell on television.
My number five. This is a Count the Dings deep cut. So if you've been listening to Count the Dings since it came around, this is a movie that got brought up a lot, especially in relation to Jade Hoy, who claimed that he had, of course, seen it and referred to it all the time and talked about how his favorite scene was when this happened and his favorite scene was when that happened. And that is Paid in Full. 53% critics, 93% audience.
Yeah.
Cameron would be a Hall of Fame ass off contender from that movie. And Jade obviously saw it.
Clearly.
Over and over again. Jade in full.
Jade in full.
Shout out to Jade. Shout out to Paid in Full. Shout out to Cameron. Everybody. Mm-hmm.
Everybody.
All around. All right, number four. Again, this is all the seeds of a great cinephobe movie. The plot is a man who shows up to a conference. He's a doctor. And then discovers his identity has been stolen.
Oh, my God.
Motherfucker, I watched this shit 3 years ago.
I forgot to write this down.
Oh, fuck me. Unknown. Liam Neeson. It's so goddamn good in a cinephobe way.
So we're into the Liam Neeson section of a means.
No. That's going too far.
So
release the Kraken.
It's a double nickel, double nickel. It's 55-55.
Wow.
Dude, this is a banger of a movie.
Banger. When he sees his wife and his wife doesn't recognize him either, and that's when it really starts.
Spoiler alert. Yeah.
Would love to do that movie. Would love to do Unknown.
All right. My number four. We've talked about it a lot. We've always been surprised it doesn't qualify. Another massive cast. Jon Favreau, Gene Hackman, Keanu Reeves. The Replacements.
Oh, The Replacements. Yeah, we have to.
That's a good call. Yeah.
It is 41% critics, 66% audience. So it's possible one day,
man.
But we need it.
You need Michael Dakina to come back.
Yeah, come on, man.
But do us a solid. I feel like it's got a lot of critics' reviews, though. So moving that 1%
probably
would take four or five people to do it. Yeah, that's a good one. That would be a great cinephobe episode.
That would be fantastic.
My number four is a ensemble cast. It's assembled in Vegas for a scavenger hunt at the behest of an eccentric billionaire in John Cleese. Yep. It's got Mr. Bean as a narcoleptic. It's got Kathy Bates in one of the all-time cameos, selling squirrels by the side of the road. I own it on DVD. This was a heavy rotation movie for me. It's Rat Race.
I don't know why I keep thinking it qualifies.
45%, 64%. Because it should. It's not a great movie. And it's kind of like Waterworld, where it's like, really? Like, enough people gave positive reviews of this that it's out of range, but unfortunately it is.
So, Maze, the funny thing about Rat Race is I remember when it was coming out in the trailers, and I remember Cuba Gooding Jr. running down the street in his underwear and the nuns behind him. And I saw the cast, and I was like, there's no way this movie can't be amazing. And that was the first movie I ever watched where I walked away and said, oh, you know what? Having too many famous people in a movie makes it hard.
Monuments, man.
With everybody going on stage as Smash Mouth sings All Star. There is no more turn of the century bitch moment than that.
All right. My, what are these? Number two now? We're three. Number three. Okay. So this movie comes up a lot. And every time we bring it up, we're like, does that qualify? No, it doesn't qualify. And I was reminded of it recently when I watched Passenger 57 because it was brought up again. It's, again, all the cinephobe seeds of greatness. It's a plane. It's a terrorist attack. It's a guy
it really
who knows
is
gonna happen.
Going down this fucking... You guys accused me. Hold on. You guys accused me of the songs episode of not doing my fucking homework because I put a lot of Pitbull in there. You fucking dare, man.
No, but you picked like...
I like how Amin said it's got all the ingredients of a cinephobe classic that he started describing September 11th.
Well, so you know what September 11th didn't
fall.
Have?
It's early in the morning.
What didn't it have?
Liam Neeson. Nonstop.
Does it? All right.
Nonstop is a fucking amazing
it's a
movie. Bang.
Also, it's a 9/11 movie, by the way.
Is it?
Isn't it?
No, it is. There's like a conspiracy, like a 9/11 conspiracy thing happening. Doesn't actually qualify for this episode. 62-63.
Really?
62-63.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, one of them all.
Are you going to replace him?
I got a replacement. All right.
Well, Zach already picked the replacement, so.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so how about this? How about this?
What a dick. That fucking douchey chuckle. That douchey fake chuckle. I'm distracted.
I'm not distracted. It's I'm giving polite laughter. All right. So this movie. Oh, this one also, oddly enough, has all the elements. Has all the elements of a cinephobe banger, right? It's got action, it's got comedy, it's got funny people. It does have a plane. It's got Liam Neeson.
What?
It's the A-Team.
Oh, okay. That I'm with.
We've mentioned it a time or two before about it doesn't qualify. I wish we could do it.
He's great in it, by the way.
Did you guys watch the A-Team show?
Oh yeah,
yes, sure. Oh come on, man!
So good.
Never
49-66. So this one makes
okay,
it.
Okay, yeah. Good.
Yeah, Rampage Jackson.
Damn, Nonstop doesn't qualify for this.
Not even for this, man. It's
doesn't
too good.
Qualify for the not qualifying episode.
Yeah,
damn.
Which is our next CT5, believe it or not. Didn't qualify for the non-qualifiers.
The Godfather.
The Godfather.
Godfather. All right, my number three. This one's 42% critics, so it could, but I believe there are a lot of reviews. I didn't check. It is one of those movies where it's got a certain audience. That audience got it up to 65%, but it's got the 42% critics.
What's a certain audience mean?
Well, you'll find out. It has been shoved down my throat by Netflix, by any streaming service, and it's been shoved down fatly. It's Here Comes the Boom.
Wow.
Kevin James.
That's your number three?
Number three.
No, that's his algorithm. Because that's been on Zach's, like, you know how Netflix, you log in.
He brought it up so many times.
It's on the spotlight every fucking time I open the app. I don't even think it's on there anymore. They're still saying, hey, you should watch this.
It's like, hey, we don't mind you leaving and use another app.
It's on Paramount right now. Here's our login. Like, that's what it's telling me.
Wow.
Oh man,
42% though, but I don't know how many. Let me see how many reviews there are. Because I'll pick it the second it becomes.
I'll pick it fatly. Yeah. I'll figure that pick.
I'll pick it fatly for sure. It's got Salma Hayek in it. 98 reviews. Oh, it actually doesn't need that many. It doesn't need that many to get down.
Yeah. Gonna get down. Get on down.
All right, my number three was a movie that the first time it came up, looking at other people that we've done on Cinephobe, looking at their other movies, I was legitimately upset. I was upset because it's so close. It's 42%. I said, why? Why are they doing this to me? This would be such a good episode. I love this movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's got Gerard Butler, Christian Bale, Matthew McConaughey, and Dragons. It's Reign of Fire.
Oh,
how does that not qualify, 42, man?
49.
That movie's awful.
Please, just bring it down. I want Matthew McConaughey with his shaved head and
It long as fuck?
No, it's not that long.
It doesn't strike me as one that would be long.
It's where they discover that a dragon has been buried in London this entire time, and then that dragon destroys the world, and then we need to bring
Paul Walker's brain in there.
We need to bring in dragon killers, and that's where Matthew McConaughey comes in.
Why? Because his brain would.
No, because the movie, the episode's not out yet. Jesus Christ! Supercharge that or clip Walker. It. I don't know.
All right, number two. My number two movie has. Oh wait, I don't know if this one qualifies either. Now that I think about it.
All right, let me look.
Let me
just say it. Look. Just say it and figure it out.
Okay, so as I said earlier, love in Cinephobe how we'll do movies that are part of a greater series, right? But a lot of times, like, we have to do sequels, but we can't do the original because the original doesn't qualify. But this one has all the makings of a Cinephobe banger. It's got terrorists. It's got abduction. It's got kidnapping. Everyone loves
I need you to not
movie.
Start a sentence with "It's all the makings of a Cinephobe classic." It has terrorists.
It's got Liam Neeson. It's Taken.
I mean, just 85% audience, 60%.
No, I had that written down.
It's on mine. OOLI. Yeah.
OOLI.
Yeah. You barely
I'm
got that one.
I'm pretty good at this. I'm pretty good at just guessing this shit, man. Oh.
Yeah. I guess you just picked all Liam Neeson movies, and they almost all qualify. So good job! And it's the ones that you couldn't have picked during Liam Neeson month,
right?
Are they all Liam Neeson movies? I hadn't noticed,
except for Hoodlum. Unless I'm missing, he something might be in there.
Hey, sweet Annie.
Number two for me. I've actually tried to get it down to qualify, but not by asking the audience because I could never get the audience down on this one. Okay. I have gone into the reviews on Rotten Tomatoes and tried to dispute that this is not a positive review, that it's actually negative. And I've reported multiple reviews trying to get this down. There's only 56 reviews for it, but it's at 43% with the critics, 76% with the audience. I don't want your life. I give it a fucking 10. It's Varsity Blues. I've legitimately gone in and said this review is miscategorized. This should be a negative review on multiple reviews. I would love that episode.
That's a classic.
Dude,
for
it's
sure.
So good. I can't believe it's as close as it is.
Yeah, what do you think that is?
I don't know.
Teen movie.
I think because they're not criticism. Yeah, teen movie. I think people didn't like James Vanderbeek at the time because of Dawson's Creek. There's only 56 reviews, so there's not that many reviews, you know. Yeah, Varsity Blues, maybe.
My number two was the first movie that I thought of when this list came about. It's mentioned way back in Cinephobe history. I want to say in the first 50 years, I was talking about how I wish this movie qualified and how it would be such a good episode and all that. Somehow, and I'm surprised by this, Zach, it's the first Nicolas Cage movie that's been mentioned on this list, and it's Vampire's Kiss. Where Nicolas Cage believes, either has a psychotic break and thinks he's a vampire, or actually becomes a vampire. Let the viewer decide.
So fucking ass off in that movie.
It's an incredible performance. It's 1988, 65% critics, 54% audience. He runs down the street screaming, "I'm a vampire! I'm a vampire! I'm a vampire!"
So good. Oh my God.
Great movie. Great time. He's also the prototypical yuppie douchebag.
Yeah.
He's not just Joe Everyman. That's the one where he explains filing to his assistant by angrily reciting the alphabet.
Yes.
Yeah. A, B, C. It's an all-time Nicolas Cage losing his shit moment. Mm. Even Amin might like that one.
Oh, Amin would love it.
Noted Cage doubter.
Nah, he's an idiot.
I just turned it to fucking Bash Amin.
Amin is 2 for 15 filing Cage movies.
Really?
God. Yep.
Dude, you feels, know you're full low. Of shit. These
oh,
are
no,
spite.
I don't
These
no, that spite. Can't be. No, that can't be right.
Yep, you're right. Me keeping track of everything and paying attention is wrong. But you're right, because you just made up the movies that are on your list.
He's almost 100% on these, though, to be fair.
Dog, yeah. I'm pretty good.
He's an idiot when it comes to Nick Cage, but he's almost there.
Well, we're at the number one, right?
Yeah, what Liam Neeson movie do you have now?
Well, number one is a movie that has all the makings of a great simple movie.
CT5, all the makings.
It's got
CT5
criminals.
CT5 terrorists.
Yeah. It's got criminals. It's got terrorists. It's got,
of course
it's got law enforcement that is untoward and not actually the good guys. And, of course, it's got Sylvester Stallone and Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh,
it's Escape Plan.
Yeah. You know, yeah. I came across that.
Didn't even write it down. And I just, yeah.
Knew it would come up.
I searched qualify, the word qualify in messages and was just going through all the things like, I can't believe this doesn't qualify. I can't believe this doesn't. And that was one that popped up. I said, oh, I know Amin's going to put that there. He's going to put it on his list somewhere. But then I kind of forgot as we were doing, I just thought you were going all Liam Neeson. So then I forgot about it. But yeah, that was one that came up.
When everyone else was zagging,
his ass at the end. Had you watched it before you watched it recently and texted us about it?
I don't remember. I remember when it came out. I remember the premise. I don't remember anything from it, which leads me to believe I never actually watched it. Mm-hmm. But when I watched it recently when it was on Tubi, I was so delighted, man. I had so much fun watching that goddamn movie. And like, I kept checking. It's fun. It was so good. I kept going back and checking. Are you sure it doesn't qualify? Is there anything we can do? How many? Like, I kept trying to find ways to make it qualify, and it just doesn't.
My number one?
Indeed.
It is probably my favorite movie of his. We've done a few of these of his movies somewhat recently. It's In the Bayou. It's got Wilford Brimley. It's about hunting people, man's most dangerous game. It's 60% for the... Wait, do I have that right? It is 60% for the critics, 49% for the audience. It's Hard Target. Jean-Claude Van Damme. It is a banger of a movie. It's so there's so much slow motion.
John Woo?
Yeah. It's an incredible final fight scene. Like, oh my God. There's Wilford Brimley riding a fucking horse. Like he's one of those goddamn apes in Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes.
Yep. That's what everybody thinks about when they think about riding a horse.
Yeah. Oh my God. It's what a movie.
So
I
it's
wish
a
we could do that.
Most dangerous game type movie. Mm-hmm.
Yep. It's evil rich people hunting people. Mm. And they come across Jean-Claude Van Damme, and that was a mistake, boys.
Yeah. I bet.
I just remembered Petty Thief Chris Dubois.
That will be picked.
Yeah.
I can never get enough, man.
Maze, you're number one.
My number one is the movie that when I was doing my research here, I legitimately got offended all over again that it was actually rated this low. I think it's wrong. Flat wrong. I think it needs to be ascertained to prove that it actually deserves to be higher than 55% critics, 69% audience score. It's a 2008 comedy. I don't know that it would make the best episode, but it is one of my favorite movies ever. It lived in my DVD player my junior year of college. It's Step Brothers.
Yeah.
Wow, that qualifies for the ineligibles list, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Stunning, honestly.
I never would have looked it up.
It's not a Will Ferrell thing, I don't think, because Talladega is highly rated.
I don't know. Like, Tony Medley has a lot.
Tony Medley, unfortunately, does not have the pulse of the
collective. Talladega 0 out of 10
on that one. But yes, I think that would be one where we read the reviews and people are snitching on themselves with
for sure
just not getting it. And I think that movie's brilliant. I think John C. Reilly is incredible. I think Richard Jenkins, Richard Parker, the Tiger is incredible. His dinosaur monologue, fucking Catalina wine mixer.
I mean, my God.
Adam Scott is absolutely unbelievable. Catherine Hahn.
Catherine Hahn is all-time performance, man.
Ball you up and put you in my vagina, and every time I feel that tickle, I just know that that's you.
She pisses into the fucking urinal. She fucks her leg up.
Yeah, after sex.
Oh, my God.
A movie rules.
That's amazing.
Can't believe that it's 55%.
All right, cutting room floor. Let's see what we got here. This one has all the makings of a... No. I've run that bit into the guy. I'm fucking wrong. This is one where we... For a brief moment in time, I think it qualified, and we were like, okay, cool, we'll get to it. And then by the time we got to it, it didn't qualify, and it's been sitting on the cusp, and it's Cusper's last stand. It is, of course, Evolution.
Yeah.
Starring David Duchovny.
44 and 48.
Orlando Jones.
I would say that is the and poster
Stifler,
isn't boy.
Stifler in it?
The poster
yeah,
boy.
Stifler's in it.
The movie we've mentioned the most about.
Yeah.
Man,
probably.
How, like,
yeah, probably.
Because it did. Because it did, and then it moved out. It's come up a lot.
Yep. Amin mentioned it recently. I think he mentioned it recently. Fuck, I don't know. Maybe he didn't. Maybe that comes out later.
Maybe some other black guy.
No, I don't talk to any of them. It's 45% critics, 54% audience. Harry and the Hendersons.
Oh, yeah.
Talking John Lithgow, yeah.
Mm. Yeah. John Lithgow's asshole dad.
Never seen it.
Yeah. Oh, it's fantastic.
You'd love it, Maze.
Yeah.
Movies that I can't believe Zach didn't pick. Con Air.
It's on my list.
50% critics.
It's on my list. I don't want to risk you guys not saying it's 100% perfect. So I didn't put it on my list.
Cyrus the Virus.
That's a very protective way to.
Yeah. I'm being honest.
I'm
Papa Bear and Con Air. Yeah.
You think me and Amin are both going to come out and say, no, Con Air sucks.
I think Amin would be all in on it. He might poke a couple of holes. Maze, I think you're going to phobe everything we picked this year. I don't trust you
at all.
You're
not picking it, you dumb fuck.
I'm saying, I think you're in
this zone. I didn't put it on my list because I thought you would pick it.
In this zone of spite phobes left and right.
I'm not in the zone of spite phobes.
Look at the record.
I haven't spite phobed a movie since Amin's drunk ass wouldn't shut the fuck up on Fallen. That's the only spite phobe in history that I have.
That's bullshit. That's bullshit indeed.
That's complete.
Yeah, that's bullshit indeed.
Bullshit, bullshit, bullshit.
Jaws the Revenge.
I'm out of snow. Bullshit, 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 bullshit. No drinks for me, thanks. Bullshit, bullshit, bullshit. And Mission Impossible 2. I can't believe you didn't pick that either.
I think it's long, right? I think it's like, that might be one that's like 2 hours plus. And just the funniest villain twist of like, where he's like, I just want money. I want stock options. And it's the dad. It's the stepdad from Taken.
It's the guy from Taken 3 who sees Liam Neeson drive onto the tarmac. And he goes, no.
No.
I guess cutting room floor for me. This one is, we did a cinephobe movie it's not a sequel, but it was loosely based on the premise of the original. The original, pretty sure isn't above 60%, but it's also not close to 40%. It's What Men Want, starring Mel Gibson.
Yep. I saw that on a list and thought, Amin will pick this.
How did you know?
Manosphere.
211 years of cinema.
Look, hey, don't say Manosphere to me, boys. Remember when we reviewed What Women Want, right? I filed it. You two misogynists said no.
Because it sucks. Yeah, it's a bad movie and you're a liar.
So women doesn't prove suck, anything. Huh? Got it.
But that makes you not a misogynist, apparently?
Nope. No.
Okay.
Hoes love me.
I kind of just want to rattle off a bunch.
Yeah, just give me a couple.
Yeah.
Top Gun.
Yeah, I can't believe that that's 58. 57, that feels like an error.
57% really? on critics.
Why would you even look that up, Zach? That's the funny thing.
I don't remember why I looked it up. I think I just started like randomly picking movies from the 80s that I like and seeing, and that was in there. This one, I can't believe the critics are this low on. Die Hard with a Vengeance is 58%. Same. Dude, that's a fucking banger. That would be a great episode.
Mm-hmm.
There was another action movie.
Die Hard 2, I think, is also in the zone, and that makes sense. Die Hard with a Vengeance.
Die Hard 2, I rewatched that like a month ago, or I guess 9 months ago.
Jeremy Irons, Samuel L. Jackson, Die Hard with a Vengeance is so great.
And then I've mentioned this one for sure a bunch of times. Broken Arrow, Christian Slater, John Travolta, Howie Long.
John Travolta,
That's like 54-44.
All right.
I have some
Multiplicity.
Oh, Multiplicity is on my list.
Has come up a bunch of times. Yep. 45, 49. The Last Boy Scout is at 46.
Yep.
Which is surprising. That's a pretty fun, underrated one. Some hilarious portrayal of how the NFL works in that movie.
Oh.
Kingpin. 49, 69. Kingpin.
Does qualify?
Is I'm a pretty great sure. Bill Murray performance.
Kingpin I have on my list too.
Yep.
He makes bowling exciting.
Cliffhanger?
What's 60, that
52?
At?
60. Okay. 60 critics, 52 audience.
Yeah.
Rennie Hamlin.
Harlan.
Harlan. Denny Hamlin. Who's Denny Hamlin?
Denny Hamlin?
Denny's Grand Slam.
I got another one here for you.
Four bagger.
I've got Cruel Intentions.
Yeah, I saw that a couple times.
Great horny movie.
You want to stay in the horny zone? You got The Girl Next Door
from 2000. You want to stay in the horny zone? Wild Things.
Yep. What's that?
That's, another great movie.
In the
64-54. Yeah. I got to save this one for last.
I Know What You Did Last Summer.
Oh, yeah. Big time. I think I still know what you did last summer qualifies.
Yes, I think it does, but I Know What You Did Last Summer does not.
This one, you know, it might be a mean just, you know, going through the motions, going through shtick. Teen Wolf. You know, you've done Teen Wolf. You've done a lot of Teen Wolf commentary over the years. I don't know if that would actually then end up being fun for you, but
it's I think it's a funny movie to do. It's a great NFL movie. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's terrorism.
Here's one, Wolf's Zach.
Racism. Disguised as bestiality.
Actually, this just in. Hold on.
Yep, this just in.
This just in.
Is that Analog Notes?
It is Analog Notes. It says here that of the last 19 movies that Maze did not select, so whether they were a bonus pick or you or I, Zach, he has phobed 15 of them.
Come on now.
15 of the last 19 movies.
Come on now.
The ones he's filed were Congo, File Sweep, Universal Soldier, File Sweep, and Judge Dredd, File Sweep, and Mighty Ducks.
Oh, I got delivered.
The Lone File.
And Time Cop. And that's file my pick, sweep. I guess.
Yep, that was your pick. Yes. Yes, you are absolutely what the evidence, the preponderance of evidence is you are absolutely phobing shit left and right.
Well, Zach's made two good picks in like a year.
What?
And I don't know what you're doing either. So, you know, I mean, like,
I've been picking so many bangers. You're out of your mind.
15 out of 19. Three of them were file sweeps, and one of them was.
Do you think you're out here like filing that all these movies are good and you're filing them and that I'm the only one with
you
not
are
liking other people's picks.
You're
look at,
spiding.
Look at the my
look
last
the,
20.
Look at the evidence.
Look at my last 20. Look at my last 20.
All right. I don't know what that has to do with this episode. Anyways, basketball is at 41%.
Basketball on my list as well.
The House Bunny, which is a great Anna Faris movie. She's awesome in that movie. 43%. Emma Stone.
Euro Trip
I had down. Yeah. Scotty doesn't know. Man. Golden Dumpster. Matt Damon, cameo of the year. The Fat Man, the Mel Gibson movie that came out where he's
I don't know how this happened.
Movie.
I have it purchased through, you know, iTunes or whatever. I've never watched it.
Well, I think we
it's
I think
in my
we,
library.
We were gonna do it.
And oh, maybe that's why.
And
I
then
did
its
it,
ratings were too high.
But yeah, I own it. I've never watched it. It's just been sitting there for years.
Well, that's great.
Cable Guy.
Cable Guy was on my list, 55, 51. Austin Powers, The Spy Who Shagged Me, and So I Married an Axe Murderer.
So I Married an Axe Murderer.
Yep. 53% critics.
The Fast and the Furious.
Yep.
Get a mean into the universe, mm-hmm. Beyond Tokyo Drift.
Start at the beginning.
Yep.
That's Ace Ventura, 54, Pet 74. Detective is 48%.
Mm. I, Robot, 56%. That's a long movie.
The Dictator, starring Sacha Baron Cohen, 56, 44. This one doesn't make any sense to me. It's old, so I guess that probably is the reason. But Spaceballs is at 57.
Really? That sounds ridiculously low. But for the record, by the way, of my last 20 picks, I filed 10 of them. 10 out of 20. That's Hall of Famer.
Above the Rim, 52%.
Oh, yeah. Critics. That's one I've thought about a lot. Yeah.
Mystery Men, 60, 57.
Mm-hmm.
The Mummy is at 60, which I guess it's not a great movie, but that was a huge hit.
Yeah, it was a huge hit, but people, like critics, didn't like it because they felt like it was a watered-down Indiana Jones.
Yeah, I guess that's probably what it is. So I wonder
if a lot of those reviews are from like that.
It's like it's like comparing A Million Ways to Die in the West to Blazing Saddles over and over and over again.
Oh my God, yeah. I just have one left, so you let me know when you guys are done.
I'm done.
Brendan Fraser also had Blast from the Past, 58, 57. Oh, yeah.
Bedazzled also, right?
Bedazzled. Yeah, I forgot about that, yeah.
Bedazzled, yeah.
Mars Attacks, 56%. The Faculty, 57%. The Transporter.
The Faculty doesn't
No, the Faculty doesn't. I've looked that one up so many times, yeah.
The Transporter, 54%. Dune, 1984, 44%. And then Walk Hard is 75% critics, 57% audience.
What's the audience that low?
I have no idea. Crazy. Snakes on a Plane, 69% critics, 49% audience. There's more weird ones, but yeah.
And then last one from me, 69% critics, but 60% audience just sneaks in there. World Trade Center. Make sure you're sending us your picks for your CT5. Make sure you're subscribed to that Patreon, patreon.com/countthedings. Get in that Discord.
What about that Whoopi Goldberg 9/11 movie?
Watch us on YouTube at Cinephobe Pod. Watch Amin's reaction to what Zach just said.
Next time we make love,
Amin's eyes lit up.
You introduced me to Jade.